Blood's enough for me. Cleansed me from all my sin. I hope you know Christ is your Savior. Ephesians 5 is our starting place this morning. Ephesians chapter number 5 will be in Ephesians and John today as we wrap up this summer-long series on matters of the home and the family. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine or in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Heavenly Father, help me this morning be a help to all these men and women that have come today. Minister your truth to our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. According to the Bible, everyone that trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is given the Holy Spirit of God to reside within them. This incredible thing, but the Bible says it. If it wasn't in the Bible and someone just invented it, you'd say that's too far. You can't go there. But God said in His Word that the one true God of heaven exists as the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That's 1 John 5:7 in your King James Bible, removed from all the modern versions. But God's Word says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. So God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, and He suffered and bled and died upon the cross to pay for our sins and rose again the third day and then ascended back to the Father's right hand. And there He sits awaiting the day when He will come and receive believers unto Himself. And in the meantime, every man, woman, boy, or girl who believes the gospel and receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, God the Holy Spirit comes to live inside them. That's an amazing thing. Really, really, truly is an amazing thing. So this morning, if you're here and I say, are you saved? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? And you say, yes, I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You are a husband with God the Holy Spirit inside him. Or a wife with God the Holy Spirit inside her. Or a parent with God the Holy Spirit inside of you. And shouldn't just common sense, spiritual sense, shouldn't the Holy Spirit of God have a far greater presence in our relationship than our old Adamic nature? And when the Lord says, be filled with the Spirit, He's obviously not talking about some ecstatic speaking in tongues or some falling over backwards when a minister waves his coat at you. How would that help your family? Good morning, honey. How are you today, dear? Wham! The best way to understand being filled with the Spirit is to look at the things the Holy Spirit does, which things would characterize our lives if we allowed the Holy Spirit to have His way within us. I don't want to go negative at all today, so we'll just get it out of the way and dispense with it. I don't think Jesus Christ sent His Holy Spirit into my heart so I could quarrel and fight and be bitter and angry and resentful and unhappy. And I could do all that without the Lord. So He's given me the Holy Spirit to give me what John 10 calls life more abundantly. And look at our passage here. We'll start where we are. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Verse 18, what would be an indication of such filling? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, melody in my heart. The world in their restaurants and in their public places and in their automobiles and in their homes, They import music because they don't have any of their own. They pipe in singers singing about whatever made that singer happy because they don't really have anything to sing about on their own. There should be some melody to our living rooms. There should be some praise and thanksgiving to our conversation. Anybody on the street can argue. Anybody on the street can complain. But that house where the Holy Spirit of God lives inside father and mother and husband and wife and teenager, there ought to be a different atmosphere there. And there can be. There ought to be a joyful atmosphere there, and there can be. I can have the Holy Spirit, but not be filled with the Holy Spirit. The filling seems better to me than the mere possession. The next thing says in verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The advertisements of the world, they're all about what you don't have and what you need and what you deserve that someone hasn't given to you yet. The conversation as soon as you get to work until the time you leave work is usually complaining. It's usually expressions of discontentment. And I would expect this way down the street and that way down the street and the next block over, I would expect a good measure of I don't like this and I don't like that and I'm not happy about this and I'm not happy about that. But somewhere on that street is a house where a man is washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and on his way to heaven and has the Holy Spirit. And where a woman is born again by the grace of God and has eternal life. And it seems if we could zero into that house with our listening devices loaned to us by the government and by Google, we ought to hear a little thank you, Lord, for the food. Thank you for the clothing. Thank you for the shelter. Thank you for the health. Thank you for the eternal life. You can have the Holy Spirit and be ungrateful, but if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a thank you attitude.
Amen.
Rather than an I'm unhappy attitude. There's a gratitude rather than a grudging spirit. And may the Lord help us in our homes to be spirit filled and spirit controlled. And in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I would expect any home, church, business, team, I would expect any place where everyone is self-centered and demanding to be a very unhappy place. People come to church looking to get. They never find a church that suits them. People could marry 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, and end up divorced every time if they're looking for that person to be their servant or to make them happy. But I'm telling you something. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to us sinners. And having saved us, He gave us the Holy Spirit. And having given us the Holy Spirit, He gave us His Word. And daily He loads us, the Bible says, with benefits. God is all about giving.
Amen.
He really is. God is all about sacrificing Himself for our well-being. It's incredible. Then what would the Spirit-filled life be? It would be a glad, not forced, a glad, not, why do I have to do this? A glad yielding of ourselves in service to the other. The happy home is not the home where everyone is demanding that they be waited upon. The happy home is where everyone delights in waiting upon the other. Happy church is not a place where everyone's demanding that they be served, but where everyone is gladly serving one another. This is an evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Come with me to John chapter number 16. There's 3 consecutive chapters in John. We'll take them kind of backwards here this morning, where Jesus describes the purposes for which He is sending the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16 and verse number 7, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." That's really an odd thing. Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Son of God, says to a group of disciples, "You'll be better off when I'm gone than you are with me here." Now that's kind of an odd thing until you think about it for a minute. If Jesus Christ had risen from the dead with the eternal life that was His from before the world began, and chose to reside in Nazareth or Bethlehem or Jerusalem, today, some very happy and very blessed people who had the money would have made a trip to Jerusalem to spend some time with Jesus. And how blessed they would be to call us on their cell phones or maybe FaceTime with us on their device and say, "Look, I'm here with Jesus." And the rest of us would say, "Oh, that must be great. I wish I were there." But if Jesus Christ went away and said, "I will send one who is every bit as much God as I am, with all the attributes and all the power and all the blessings and all the grace, but He will live with every one of you who is saved."
Amen.
How much better is that? I don't have to call a Christian friend and say, "Hey, guess what? I have the Holy Spirit today." My Christian friend would say, "Yeah, me too." I said, "Wait a minute. How can you be in Europe and have the Holy Spirit, and I'm over here in America and I have the Holy Spirit?" And Jesus said, "I told you it'd be better." So this is the great thing. Every one of us today doesn't have the person of the Lord Jesus Christ technically dwelling in our homes. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But every one of us who is saved had the Holy Spirit in our house when we woke up this morning. Had the Holy Spirit in our home when we prepared breakfast today. Had the Holy Spirit in our car on the way to church. Might not have believed it, but He was there. Isn't that incredible? All right, so look at the benefit here. In verse number 7, "Expedient for you, I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Me, of righteousness because they go to My Father and He see Me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged." Now here's an amazing thing. A man whose father was far from God and dead in sin. A man whose grandfather was far from God and dead in sin. A woman whose mother had no clue of how to live a righteous life. Whose grandmother never set foot inside of a church house. That man and woman hear the gospel and they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And immediately they become the dwelling place of someone who can teach them what is sin and what is right. What is good and what is hurtful. What is beneficial and what is destructive. And can begin to walk them through a path of life was never known to any of their ancestors, about which their cousins and their brothers and their sisters have no clue. And all of a sudden, here is the Holy Spirit. And people view, "Oh, what do you mean reprove the world? What do you mean telling me about unrighteousness?" No, you don't understand. Someone to teach you how to not be the disaster that the world is. How to not be as clueless and self-destructive and discontented as the world is. And He lives inside of each of you. What an amazing thing. Here's a man gets up in the morning and he doesn't go to his sports page. And here's a woman gets up in the morning and she doesn't turn on her television. They get up in the morning and they go to the all-wise God in prayer. And they ask the loving Holy Spirit to fill them and they open the pages of the book of life, the Bible. What a difference! What a difference to live filled with the Spirit instead of, 6 years ago I got saved, I marked the date down, and when I die I get to go to heaven. In the meantime, it's just you and me fighting our way through life. Come on, come on. God, Jesus Christ, gave us the Holy Spirit so we could learn and be instructed, be delivered from unbelief, from unrighteousness, from Satan's influence. What a blessing. What a great blessing. Look at the same chapter, verse number 13. Jesus says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come..." No, verse 12, I'm sorry. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me and receive of mine." So, we're talking about being filled with the Spirit this morning. This is really amazing. Second time, Jesus says, you'll be better off when I'm gone. So here is Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, the words of that God chose to record from the 3.5 years of Jesus' earthly ministry. And when they close, Christ is risen from the dead. Praise the Lord. But now, since he's gone, the many things he had to say that he hadn't said yet, he has delivered to us by the Holy Spirit. I have Romans explaining to me how to be saved and live a righteous life. And I have Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. I have all of this great New Testament truth that the 12 apostles and the 70 disciples and all the multitudes following Jesus didn't have. It's incredible. And he said in that 13th verse, he will guide you into all truth. Verse 14, he shall glorify me. This is amazing. Here's a man, here's a woman, here's a father, here's a mother. Who knows how to navigate through all the questions and problems and troubles and trials and blessings of life, of a career, of raising children. Look, you guys, maybe you had a better head start than I did. I'm telling you, Friday, 43 years, my wife and I have been married, 43 years, I didn't have a clue how to be a husband. We had children almost as soon as we got married. A year after we got married, we had our first child. 3 years later, we had our second child. I didn't know how to be a father. I didn't know how to raise children. And so what can I do? I can just muddle along like God never had anything to say about it. Or I can let the Holy Spirit guide me into the truth of the very words of God and show me how to be a man and a husband and a father and a friend and a church member. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now you can be saved and married and do it on your own. Or you can be saved and married and filled with the Spirit. Amen. What a blessing to have the Lord show you how to get a job, how to keep a job, how to work on a job, how to be an employee, how to be an employer, how to make money, how to manage your money, how to prepare for the end of days, the end of your life. It's all here. People muddle along and struggle along and one pitfall after another and one disaster after another. And the Lord said, if you'd get filled with the Spirit, I could lead you and guide you into all truth. Let me give you a little test, sir. Give you a little test. You're married. It's good. You're going to work. That's good. Paying your bills. That's good. Take care of children. That's good. You know what the Holy Spirit said he would do? He would glorify God. Do your children know that your health came from God? that your job came from God, that your income came from God, that the food on the table came from God, that the bed they sleep in came from God, that the car they're riding in came from God. Do your children understand where they could be? Do you understand where you could be? Without the guiding power of God's Holy Spirit, He ought to get some glory in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for a roof over my head. Thank you, Lord, for my spouse. Thank you, Lord, for my health. The Holy Spirit would get you beyond you to the place where God is getting some glory. Spirit-filled living would make for great homes. John chapter number 15. Let's have a look. John 15 and verse number 26. But when the Comforter, capital C, that's the Spirit of God, I'll show you. Comforter's come, whom I will send, Jesus Christ, unto you from the Father. People say, well, I don't believe in the Trinity. Well, you've got the Comforter, you've got Jesus, and you've got the Father. There they are. That's the Trinity. These three are one. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. There's a Trinity set forth a second time again. Ye shall also bear witness because ye have been with me from the beginning. So what is the Holy Spirit? Jesus, when the Holy Spirit's come, here's what he's going to do. Number one, he's going to be truthful. Number two, he's going to speak about me. Now, sir, here's a great advantage God has given you. I have this advantage when I stand in the pulpit. I have a great advantage over a philosopher, a psychologist, a politician, a teacher. I have a great advantage. I can say, it's the Word of God. This is what God says. I have no personal quarrel with you. I have personal opinions. I set them aside to stand in this pulpit and tell you what the Bible says. Sir, what an advantage to be able to say, honey, as you take her hand, kids, as you take their hands, this is what God has instructed us to do. This is the right way to go. We know it's the right way to go because God said it. How much better than your opinion and her opinion and his opinion and the kid's opinion and grandma's opinion? How much better to say, God, I'm ready to surrender my opinion and live by your words, the Holy Bible. You know, that takes all the arguing out of it. Well, the way I see it, and everybody just, whoa. Let's all calm down and see what God says. And if we all agree this is the Word of God, and we all submit ourselves to the Word of God, everybody's on the same page. It's not a matter of who's in charge or who's going to get their way. God gets His way. Amen. Greatly simplifies life. And he said, now how we know if you've really gotten down to the truth of the matter, said he will testify of me. He'll testify of me. It was real popular for a while back. They had these bracelets, WWJD. What would Jesus do? If you weren't a believer, you could buy the same bracelet. What would Judas do? You could wear that order. If you wanted a lower standard, not quite as demanding, what would James do? You could work for all kinds of things. But at these bracelets, what would Jesus do? And the idea behind it, one you could take home with you, we have a difference of opinion. What would Jesus do? We're not clear on a course of conduct. What would Jesus do? Here's the great thing. The Holy Spirit wasn't given to you so you could have visions or dreams or ecstatic experiences or strange phenomena happen in your life. The Holy Spirit was given to you so you could take the words of God and read them and understand how Jesus Christ would be if He was the Father in your home. how Jesus Christ would be if he was the wife in your marriage, how Jesus Christ would be if he was the responsible breadwinner for your household. What a blessing. And what a tragedy if I'm saved, if you're saved, and I have the Holy Spirit and you have the Holy Spirit, but we don't want His fullness in our homes. Because now I have everything I need to have a great family. I just don't avail myself of it. In John chapter 14, back just a chapter here, John chapter 14, look at verse number 26, John 14. Same idea. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father, there's the Trinity, you saw it again, will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so the world's idea of peace is the end of conflict, the end of turmoil, the end of strife. God's idea of peace is even if turmoil happens, even if conflict happens, even if there's strife, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. The Bible is a very reasonable book. If you read the Bible from cover to cover, there are troubles in all relationships. There are struggles in every life. There are disagreements in every marriage. There are differences of opinion in every church. The Lord said, there's no way I'm going to make robots of all of you. Nor am I going to take away all of your wills. Nor are all of you going to grow at the same rate. Nor are all of you going to see life in the same way. But if you have the Holy Spirit, you can see things differently and have peace. You can have a difference of opinion or perspective and be at peace. Of all the hundreds of people here today, I'm sure if we threw any topic out there, you could have an 80-20, you could have a 90-10, you could have a 50-50. Pastors call me all the time, preacher, I've got an issue that's come up in our church, how do I resolve it? I said, the first thing you got to do is ask the congregation if this is really worth fighting over. So a lot of things aren't. You understand, we're not talking about conformity here. We're not talking about checking your brains at the door. What we're talking about is Almighty God in heaven, I'm sure, has many points of disagreement with me today. Is that fair? I'm sure there are a lot of things in your life that God would like to see improved. And yet, while all of that is getting worked out, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is possible to have peace with someone in spite of disagreements. It's possible to have peace with someone even though they are disappointing you. Because I have peace with God and God has peace with me, and I'm probably a huge disappointment to Him. Let's just leave the probably out. I'm a huge disappointment to Him. So if the Holy Spirit filled your lives, it wouldn't mean when you woke up tomorrow morning, your spouse would see everything your way. What it would mean is you could wake up tomorrow morning and enjoy the day together. Because there are so many things more important than whatever it is you might want to fight about. Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled living. Look at verse 14, chapter 14, verse number 18. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, this is where you single people, men, women, this is where you lean on your church. But let's address the verse. Multiple times, Jesus Christ is called the Holy Spirit, not teacher, though He is. Not guide, though He is. When He gives the Holy Spirit a name, He names Him Comforter. Now, does that suggest to you that TV preachers are right? Who tell you you'll never get sick? Who tell you you're going to be rich and prosperous? Who tell you that if you name it and claim it, everything's going to go your way? Why would He repeatedly say, I'm sending you a comforter, if much of life was not going to be uncomfortable? So here's the amazing thing. When sickness comes, when reversals come, when financial hardship comes, when reaping and sowing plays a part in your life, aren't you glad you have a comforter? The Holy Spirit down in your heart to help you through things you never wanted to go through. Hallelujah. But wait a minute. What an added blessing. If I'm married to someone who has a comforter who is yielded to the control of that comforter. What a blessing if I have a father, a mother who has a comforter and is yielded to the control of that comforter. If I'm in a church full of people who have a comforter and are yielded to the control of that comforter, look at all the help I get. And I don't want this to, it's not a theological misstatement. I just want you to understand what I'm saying. It's great that I have the comforter. But what if I have the comforter times two, or times four, or times 100, or times a multitude of brothers and sisters in Christ? Praise the Lord! And what's available to us today is not a life that is all happy days, but a life where the people closest to us are indwelt by God Almighty's comforting power. You talk about softening the blow. You talk about strength and help. Isn't it amazing? It's just amazing. So I'm wrestling with tell you this or not. So a year ago, I am spending hours of my life afraid. And cancer is just a huge word, and we wish we'd have caught it sooner, and it's really a long way along. And I don't mind going to heaven. I don't, but I didn't want to. And I didn't want to leave my wife behind. Anyway, all of that. And so then we start these treatments, and they do this stuff to you, and it just wrecks your body and starts messing with your mind and all that. And I'm telling you something. I've got a Bible. I've studied the Bible. I've got a church family. You prayed for me. I'm going to tell you something. In the middle of the night, when you're scared and you're praying and you can't call verses to mind, you just be amazed at what it means just putting your hand in the hand of your wife and just get some comfort. And I'm telling you something. There's going to be dark hours in everybody's life. And if all you have is, I'm saved, well, I am too. You're not allowing the Holy Spirit to make you what you could be to the people in your life. A comfort. You know, you You kids, there's going to be times they get scared. Everybody's scared of something. I don't know what you're scared of. Some people are scared of, you know, spiders, snakes, Uncle Sam. Monkeys scare me. They're just so creepy. They have diseases and they bite and they just freak me out. I don't like monkeys. I never should have told you that. Here they come. But you know, when your kids are scared, don't be a baby doesn't help. Do you have the Holy Spirit? But are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Can you make the other person's life comfortable when it's not comfortable? Praise the Lord. John chapter 14, three more stops here. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you until you mess up. Well, that's how it's taught in a lot of churches. But Jesus said that he may abide with you forever. The reason we are able to have such a wonderful relationship with the Lord is we know it's not conditional. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He will never cast me out. He has given me the comfort and he will abide with me forever. You know how much better your marriage would be if it was never in doubt? How much more confident you could be. How, not that you try to disappoint or to fail or to come short, but the confidence and the hope that is yours if you know I don't have to meet an exacting standard or else. If you're filled with the Spirit, you never threaten termination. If you're filled with the Spirit, you never fear termination. And so you know, I can be a good spouse today, I'm going to try, and if tomorrow I try and I'm not so good, I'm still going to be the spouse the day after. Your children have to know, yes, correction, yes, discipline, yes, rebuke, but never, and I'm not speaking to you ever again, get out, be gone, I want nothing to do with you. That's not the Holy Spirit's way. You have disagreements with brother or sister in Christ? There's ways to resolve them, biblically. But breaking the thing off, that's not a Holy Ghost option. Look at the words. He may abide with you forever. In fact, look in Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Verse 13. Speaking of Christ, in whom also you trusted. Trusted Christ. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Yes, people, how they got saved, when they got saved. If they can't tell you, they need to get saved. So there's a gospel. When you heard it and you believed it, God saved you.
Amen.
Now, when did that happen? It's not evolution. Something really happens at a real time, in a real place, when you believe real truth from your heart. And so if you've done that, praise the Lord. Now watch. In whom also after you believe, that you believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now here's all I have. This is all I have. One day, Jesus Christ said, I would like to be yours forever. Would you agree to let me be yours forever and for you to be mine forever? And I said, yes, I do. And all I have to go on is his pledge, his promise that he had given me eternal, everlasting life. Isn't that a blessing? And so there have been times in my life when I have totally failed. My conduct, my faith, my confidence. I've had some dark days, and maybe you have too. But I can always go back to the day I stood before God's altar and Jesus Christ said to me, I will take this man to be my child. And I said to him, I will take this Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm sealing that for eternity. Praise the Lord. And so here's what we don't ever want to do. I don't ever want to stand here by a trembling young man and watch a beautiful young lady walk down the aisle and say, do you agree to a 5-year trial? What man would give his daughter away to that? What woman would give herself to that? And so this doctrine of conditional salvation and losing your salvation and hanging on to it by works, that isn't God's salvation.
Amen.
The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, what does the indwelling Holy Spirit, if you're filled with the Spirit, what does it provide? Your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your friends. Security. Confidence. Assurance. And without that, you're trying to build a home on a very broken and fragile foundation. Ephesians 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4, 30. I'm not talking to any of you this morning about past relationships, failures, disappointments. We're talking from this day forward. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you? Now watch, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. It would be corrupt communication if I told you you have the Holy Spirit, but you don't have Him forever. Here's proper communication from the Word of God. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have Him forever.
Amen.
Now look at the next verse. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I don't think any words in the Bible are wasted. So, why is God telling saved people to get rid of their bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking and malice if it wasn't going to rear its ugly head? So you will have something to be angry about. There will be some cause for clamor in your home. There'll be some reason for bitterness over the outcome of something. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. So you don't stay in bitterness, but you get out of bitterness and get back to grace. So you don't stay in clamor, but you get out of clamor and get back into peace. So you don't stay in anger, but you get out of anger and get back into joy. Well, you know, if you knew what was going on in my life, the Lord knew. He wrote it in advance. There's going to be verse 31 stuff in your life. But there's a verse 30 Holy Spirit in your life. So don't have the Holy Spirit and wreck everything Be filled with the Holy Spirit and let everything be great. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Yesterday, I'm not going to think about it, but if I did, I am certain there were a multitude of times during the course of the day that I didn't do something God had asked me to do, or that I did something God asked me not to do. And since I haven't really taken stock of all those things, I have to admit to you, I haven't asked Him to forgive me for all of those things. Here's what's so incredible. He just did. He loves me so much, our relationship is so important to Him that honestly, 1,000 times a day, He just lets something go. Not that it isn't hurtful, not that He doesn't wish I would have done better, not that there aren't going to be some consequences in my life for disobedience, but He'd just rather enjoy the relationship than make a big deal out of every little failure. If you get filled with the Holy Spirit, the disagreements aren't that important. The other person's shortcomings aren't that important. The love that you have for them and your desire for their life to be blessed is so much more significant than all those other things really don't even have to be discussed. I was in a church for a while, and people would come to an altar of prayer with lists of sins they had committed, beg God to forgive them and not to take their salvation away from them. What a relationship that must be. To live in that kind of fear and that kind of uncertainty, I don't want that. Brother, you don't want to create that environment for your children, for your wife, for your fellow church members, for your husband. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Amen. Not every little time you sin and every little time you ask, but when you don't even think about it. Because the relationship means more to me, to Him, than my measuring up or your measuring up. Because if we had to measure up, there'd be no relationship. Brother, sister, if every one of your relationships requires a measuring up, you're not going to have any relationships. Great to have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Greater still to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How will I know when I'm filled with the Spirit? You'll be conducting yourself toward others as the Holy Spirit conducts Himself toward you. And what a life. What a life. Heavenly Father, thank You for the great gift of salvation, the accompanying great gift of Your Spirit. Father, we are happy today to be saved men and saved women and saved family members. But how much greater would be our joy if we were Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled. Men, women, family members, help us, Lord, to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. In His name we pray, and amen.